1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. 2016 promises to be a rather pivotal year in our nation's history. As we all know, it's an election year. And depending on who gets elected this year will impact the future of our nation for generations to come, whether for ill or for good, barring the Lord's return, of course. And we find ourselves these days in turbulent times. The pride of man and defiance against Almighty God is in full swing. And troubles seem to come upon us at a more increasing rate. It just seems to be escalating over time. For the enemy is in our midst, working among us. And there seems to be no foreseeable end to the threat and the bestial horrors of radical Islam in all its forms that we see. War continues on the home front and abroad. And considering the many hotspots in the world, it seems that even more war could come upon us at any time. Social issues in America have reached a surreal status. The moral decline in our country on multiple fronts is happening faster than just about anybody could possibly have foretold. Evil is called good, and good evil. Our government continues to support the murder of nearly a million American children a year. And, well, recent estimates, it's over 57 million children in our country murdered since 1973. The latest evolutions of racism and elitism are poisoning people against one another. Divorce has gone beyond reason, destroying the cornerstone of our culture, the family. The institution of marriage has received a terrible blow, and the new sexual revolution has reached levels of insanity that boggle the mind. Persecution of our brothers and our sisters in various countries around the world is reaching horrific status. It defies words, and though it pales to such horrors of what we read in the news, even the persecution of Christians in our own country is becoming more overt, even becoming institutionalized in some cases. Now, the effect of these things and similar things on the people to whom we minister is profound. Many are afraid, and they are angry. Social media abounds with enraged Americans So many of them Christians. And many think that this country that they love so much is being stolen away from them, and they have reached a point where they've just about had enough. Hence, when we read in the news of this stand, many call it a defiant stand of Judge Moore against the federal Supreme Court, well, it resonates with so many people. It is as if the first flows of a volcano were pouring out, and it's ready to explode. And all of this is on top of mankind's never-ceasing ails and ills, these things that ministers deal with day in, day out. Sickness, poverty, betrayal, grief, despair, depression, crime, death, the ails and ills of mankind. And it is in these times, gentlemen, and it is in these troubles that we have been called by the Lord, His elders, His ministers of the gospel, to lead His people. It is a momentous and it is a staggering task. It is one that we cannot take lightly nor without forethought. It is so easy to get caught up in the times. We are invested materially and emotionally in what's going on. And it's so easy sometimes to lose the perspective of the mission to which we have been called as elders in the Lord's church. That mission to which we have been ordained to carry out. We face a great temptation to draw away from the foundations, our groundings, our moorings, towards the flittering, self-sufficient, and prideful ways and attitudes of the world. Yet when we succumb to such temptations, my friends, we move onto a deadly path. And God forbid that somehow we might mislead the flock that has been entrusted to us along that path. The Apostle Peter also lived during tumultuous times, and in his first epistle here, 1 Peter 5, as we look at it, he begins his closing statements of this epistle with a direct address to the elders of the church, elders like us. He then proceeds in verse 2, he starts to give authoritative counsel on how to faithfully minister to the flock of God during difficult and trying times. And central to this message that we receive in this epistle is the theme of humility. It is woven through his discussion of our adversary, our character, our responsibility, our message, and our hope in Jesus Christ. And many of you here probably remember Dr. Bob Osteson, Robert J. Osteson. Some of y'all remember him, I know. Dr. O, affectionately called. He ministered for many years at Trinity Presbyterian Church. Well, Dr. O had a term, and perhaps you know this term. It's one that he used, that it's one of those things that stick with you. And it grasps what lies at the heart of the problems and the struggles of individual believers in the church corporate. And this term is the unholy triumvirate. The unholy triumvirate. And it consists of Satan, sin, and self. The first aspect of this unholy triumvirate, our adversary, Satan the devil. Well, it's this first aspect, our adversary. He is actively working against the Lord and His people. And in particular, as elders or overseers of the people of God, He seeks to destroy our ministry. As Peter says in verse 8 here, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And he's coming after you. Concerning our adversary, Dr. O, in a sermon on this passage, the sermon was in 1978, by the way. I can refer it to you at some point, but it was a wonderful sermon. And he elaborated on the devil's mission against us. And this is what he said. Satan is out to defeat us. Satan's great determination is that he will render Christians and the Christian church ineffective, that he will mar and spoil their testimony, and that he will dissipate their power. In the vein of Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 15, which gives a picture of the character of Satan, the devil tempts us towards rebellion against God through self-assertiveness and self-sufficiency. Now, when we turn from the elements of our calling that were expressed by the Lord Jesus in Mark 8:34, particularly to deny ourselves, our pride comes to the forefront of our stance towards God and men. And such a stance leads us astray from walking as a disciple of the Lord along the path of righteousness to a rebel going our own way. And as 1 Peter 5:5 says, God opposes the proud. When we become prideful, when we become proud, God opposes us. And how can we possibly minister for God when he is arrayed in battle against us because of our pride? And the fallout of this sin, this poison, is division of the church, the ruination of our testimony, the dissipation of our power, and our being made ineffective. And it will not only be us who suffer from our sin, but the people to whom we are responsible will also suffer for our sin. So, what is the antidote to this poison? Well, Peter provides it here in the second part of verse 5 through verse 7. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Clothe yourselves in humility. This is the antidote. It is a key element in our character as servants of the Lord. It is in denial of self that we follow the Lord, and he is our example. We see in this so familiar passage, Philippians 2, where it describes the Lord's clothing himself in humility. The Lord, our example, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Indeed, Jesus was very clear that a humble person, humble servants, living after his example, it is only a humble person who can be qualified to lead his flock. Mark 10:42-45. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And that's where it's at, my brothers. We who are elders can only lead the flock of God as humble servants, clothed in humility. For when we are proud, when we are self-seeking, self-glorifying, and hungry for and jealous of power over the flock, not only are we not being Christ-like, but we challenge the Lord Jesus for what is his alone. Now, how do we become such humble servants? 1 Peter 5:6 speaks to this. Humility comes from the Lord. Hence, we must pray. We must pray that He will give us, that He will ensure that we possess that humble spirit that He requires of us as leaders, as elders in His church. We must pray that He would make us self-aware as to the temptation of pride. And we need to pray for that strength, that when we see pride creeping up on us, that we can reject it and then be fully repentant when we fail, knowing that we are forgiven. Yet sometimes pride does go so deep. It goes so deep that a painful purging by the Lord is the only way. Hence, quite literally, verse 6 here, the need to be humbled under the mighty hand of God. In the vein of Hebrews 12, God, our loving Father, He disciplines His sons. He actively humbles us. And sometimes this humbling, sometimes because of our pride, it is very painful in how we are humbled. He'll bring and allow hardship upon us, and such that our pride will be crushed. But when He does this, it's so that we might be molded after the image of Christ. And truly, it is a great blessing when He humbles us so. Even though when it is happening, and probably most of us can speak to it, it can be so painful. And maybe we just can't see past that crushing hand of God at the time. But indeed, it is something that we should rejoice in when this happens. For He is lovingly equipping us with the necessary character to fulfill our calling. Now, in the intro, I mentioned several things that are major concerns for so many of our flock, even ourselves. And these things are the cause of great anxiety. And as things get closer to home, as these troubles get closer and closer to us and our flock, as they get more and more personal, they're going to be getting more and more intense for not only our flock, but for us as we minister among them. And so in verse 7 of our passage, Peter exhorts us. He says that we must cast all of our anxieties upon Him, upon God, because He cares for you. And dealing with the troubles of the world entails just that, as we deal not only with our own problems, but as we seek to lead the flock of God entrusted to us. Prideful self-sufficiency will bring us to ruin. We do not have the strength in ourselves to do it on our own. But the humble man need not be anxious, as his confidence is in the Lord and in His loving care. Upon his knees before the Lord in prayer, he cast his burden upon the Lord in total reliance upon Him. And there he finds his strength. As Psalm 28:7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. In Him my heart trusts, and I am helped." As overseers of the flock, my brothers, we must live this way, as humble servants before Christ. So as trouble comes and total reliance upon the Lord, He will enable us. He will enable us to shepherd the flock according to His will, keeping the faith, obedient, and continuing upon that path of righteousness that He leads. And so, the instructions to Peter, to the elders in verse 2 through 3, flow from this position of being clothed in humility as servants of the Lord. Verses 2 through 3. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Briefly put, it is only clothed in humility that we can oversee the flock willingly as called servants of the Lord. For a self-serving man, or a man who is under compulsion, he will resist the nature of the task at hand. And it is only as humble servants that we can serve eagerly, because we're carrying along in joy in the Lord, that He would call us to be the ones to handle this task in hand. And this mindset is far beyond the mentality of hirelings, those who are enslaved and controlled by money. Indeed, our lives are to be so fully defined by who we are in Christ, that like Christ, we are servants to the flock. And our character is the clothing that we wear, seen by all, an example to all. Now, Alexander Strock, and you've probably studied his book, I would think, Biblical Eldership. Perhaps that's one you've studied. He aptly says, that the elder's primary leadership style is to model Christ. The elder's primary leadership style is to model Christ. And he then gives an explanation as to the effect of this modeling, this example on the flock. He writes, if elders are petty tyrants who lord their authority over the local church, others will follow their example, abusing and fighting one another to gain power and recognition. If the elders are examples of uncompromising fidelity to Scripture, then the congregation will be loyal to Scripture. If the elders trust God, the people will trust God. If the elders love God and His people, the people will love. If the elders are peaceful, gentle, loving, and prayerful, the church, for the most part, will emulate their pattern. If the elders are humble, the people will be humble, avoiding much contention. If the elders are servant leaders, the church will be marked by Christ-like, humble servitude, or servanthood, rather. Now, from this position, our character, molded on the humble character of our chief shepherd, we go forth confidently, firm in our faith, verse 9, to serve the flock in the ministry of the word and prayer. Pride is such an insidious sin. It is ever there just waiting to spoil even the best of things. And in our case, this especially includes our ministry in any and all of its aspects. The devil prowls. Be sober. Be alert. Be watchful. Ask disciplined questions of yourself. Ask yourself questions of your own motives as you minister. Whatever ministry you might be in that particular day, is whatever you are doing, is it motivated by pride? Is what you are doing something that you take pride in and you're proud of because of it? Are you tempted to sin in order to feed your pride that motivates you as a minister in whatever it is you're doing? These and similar questions are important to prayerfully consider. It's that examining of self that we must do as we minister each day. And are we proud? Are we proud of our preaching? Are we proud of our teaching? Are we proud of our wisdom and counseling? Or how we handle interpersonal relationships? Are we proud of our wit? Are we proud of the position of authority that we hold? And if this is so, we set ourselves up for moral failure if our pride is not identified, repented, and resisted. And resist it we can. The Spirit of God enables us, 1 Corinthians 10:13. And along these lines, it is imperative, my brothers, It is imperative that we do not neglect our spiritual disciplines, as it's so easy to get so busy to neglect them. These spiritual disciplines of prayer, time in the Word, and the corresponding intimate fellowship with the Lord. It is there that we are girded in the full armor of God and stand firm in His strength as we shepherd the flock according to His will. My brothers, we all recognize that look when we see one another when we're out. That look when we meet eyes of understanding, this knowing that we share among ourselves as men about a unique and difficult task. Surely there is profound joy, tremendous blessing, and deep satisfaction in our labors. There is. Yet we serve with the understanding that we may always do so in obscurity, often without any thanks, often facing hardship from a grumbling flock, ridiculed by the world, and beset upon with violence from the enemy of the Lord and His people at every turn. But remember, we do not labor without a great hope. Verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." What more can we ask for than an eternal, glorious reward, recognition bestowed upon us by the Lord Jesus Himself? All praise and glory to His name. Gentlemen, you've been pastoring the flock of God for a long time. Some of y'all have known me since I was very small. Indeed, many of you have been my spiritual leaders over the years as I grew up among you. And I'm eternally grateful for your prayers, for your patience, for the example that you have set as men of God. And my sincere hope and my prayer for you is that these words of Peter and these words spoken here today will resound within you as a reminder and as an encouragement as you continue to go forth into battle. Remember that in this storm that we face, it may even be enduring now, clothe yourselves in humility, relying upon the Lord and His ready strength. Humble elders, humble pastors, such we must be, imitators of Christ, the chief shepherd, our humble and glorious Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we consider these words, as we consider what it means to be an elder during these times, with the responsibility as under-shepherds to your flock, Lord, I pray that you would grant us the humility that we need to move forward upon that path as those under-shepherds of your flock. Lord, give us the wisdom and the knowledge and the strength and all the many things that we need. Lord, so many things are coming our way. Lord, how we respond, Lord, I just pray that you would just be right there in the middle of it. That you would let us know how to deal with all the various things. It's impossible to catalog them here today. They just keep coming day by day. But Lord, we know you are there in the midst of it. And Lord, today as we conduct presbytery business, I pray, Lord, that your blessing would be upon these men. And that, Lord, we would glorify you. Whether here today or tomorrow or the next day, or be it whenever we are out and among your people, that we would glorify you first and you only. And it's in Christ Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.